Tilehurst End Podcast.
By Reading fans, for Reading fans.
Hello everybody, welcome along to another special little bonus show from us here at the Tilehurst End Podcast. And this is a milestone episode. This will be the final Tilehurst End Podcast extra with the man who started it all with myself, Charles Watts. For those of you who don't know, Charles moved on back in January. He left Get Reading to go work at a sister site at Trinity Mirror covering his beloved Arsenal. So we didn't get a chance. It all happened very quickly, so we didn't get a chance to record a finale. So I wanted to sit down for months. I've been trying to get this show in the can. We finally did it. Great for Charles to give up his time. If any of you still follow him on Twitter or Facebook, you'll know that he is currently in Australia covering Arsenal's pre-season tour there. So we sat down last week to record this show. So there are a couple of outdated time references. That will be why. Just before we head into that as well, if you haven't yet checked out our interview with DJ Megaparty, the man behind the microphone on Reading on match days, I very much encourage you to check that out in the feed. Really good interview with him. Lots of insights from someone that has had lots of a fair bit of criticism, especially when he started, but he's winning over hearts and minds. And hopefully the podcast will help to do so as well. And again, a massive, massive thank you to everyone who continues to support the cause over at patreon.com. Those of you who are doing the right thing, putting your hand in your pocket and go, you know what? These guys give us all this content for free. I'm going to give something back. I'm going to give them a couple of quid a month. It's our electronic tip jar. Just as much as you'd pay for a paper or something like that, but it all really does add up. If everybody that listened to this podcast gave us a couple of quid a month, we'd take this thing pro. But as it is, it is a nice little booster and helps us pay for new equipment and bits and pieces. So thank you to everyone who continues to do so. It's patreon.com/thetilehurstend, patreon.com/thetilehurstend. And of course, head over to thetilehurstend.com for lots and lots of pre-season content. And if you want to get involved, I've had a couple of new people put their hands up and say, I want to get involved writing for the Tilehurst End. Join in, thetilehurstend@gmail.com. Tell us what you're interested in, what you'd like to do, and we'll do our very best because it's more the merrier. It's a site by the fans, for the fans, and we will continue to be so as long as I'm in charge anyway. But anyway, without further ado, here is the very last Tilehurst End Podcast Extra with Charles Watts.
Get social with the boys. Find them on Twitter at the Tilehurst End and facebook.com/thetilehurstend.
Charles, welcome back to the show. It's been a while.
It has been a while, mate. I'm delighted to be back talking to you and hearing your dulcet tones yet again.
Oh, your charmer. Things like that will get you future appearances, without a doubt. But anyway, the reason I wanted to get you on the show, Charles, is not just because you're obviously a great co-host to have on who knows a lot about the football club, but because our sort of show, that the podcast extra, kind of just stopped abruptly around Christmas because you moved on to pastures new. You got that shock January move. To cover, I suppose, you know, a slightly bigger club, we'll give you that, in Arsenal. So tell us all where exactly you've gone for those of us out there that have wondered where you've disappeared to.
Well, I am the Arsenal Writer at Football London, which is a new project that was launched in January by Trinity Mirror, who obviously own Get Reading. So it's a sort of a move in-house startup project that they basically headhunted me for and wanted me to do it. They obviously know my Arsenal connections and everything. So that's what I'm doing. And it's 6 months down the line now. It was a struggle at first, but we're really, really getting going today. So I'm really enjoying it.
Winning a trophy in your first season as well.
It was special, that was, I tell you. It was a tough season. I felt like a bit of a Jonah, to be honest, because when I arrived, we were of a chance at a title. We were like slap bang in the title race. And then it all went downhill from basically the second I arrived. So I thought it was a bit of a curse, so I'm delighted that we managed to at least get the FA Cup to celebrate at the end of it. And it was a special day at Wembley, that, I think. It had been such a tough season. I mean, I don't want to say tough season because we still finished fifth in the Premier League, so a lot of fans will hear that and say, what are you complaining about? But for Arsenal, it was a tough one with everything going on with a manager and everything like that. And it weren't the nicest place to be week in, week out at the stadium. So to finish like that and the way they played and to beat the champions, deservedly beat the champions as well, it was a special day.
Yeah, well, I'm sure a few Reading fans listening to begrudge your move to cover, you know, the team. You've always been open about it. You are an Arsenal fan, and I'm sure anyone would jump at the chance to cover their club. But you gave us three and a half, what was it, three and a half seasons of service in the end? I think you started around the time 2013-14 season, wasn't it?
It was Atkins' first full season, so just after the relegation.
Because we started
Johnny bailed just before the relegation, didn't he?
Yes, that was it. Because we started this podcast at the same time, and I remember getting in touch with you because you were just getting into the job as well. And we got you, first off, I think you were part of the main show, and then we sort of span you off because you were too big to contain in the main show.
I was a spin-off.
You were the successful spin-off. You know, they have been done.
Good.
I can't think of any off the top of my head.
From Cheers.
Yes, it. Like it. You are the Fraser Crane to my Sam Malone. That's a really terrible old analogy, and I'm sure a lot of people listening won't get that. So I'll move on swiftly. But so, 3.5 years to the club, lots of ups and downs, but what was the high point for you?
Oh God, it was all a high point. You say ups and downs. I mean, it was, but I loved it. I loved every second of it. It was a real tough decision to leave as well. I wouldn't have gone with it. It was the only job. I almost sound like a footballer saying this. It's ridiculous, but it was like the only job I'd have gone for because I was absolutely loving what I was doing. I wasn't in any trying to leave. You know, I hadn't looked for a new job or anything like that. I was perfectly settled. But so it was just all a high point. It's such a brilliant club, and you know, I had a bit of a soft spot for it anyway because I had covered it in the past. But sort of going there and diving head first into it all, it was great, and I loved the fans on social. You know, it made my job so much more enjoyable. The sort of interaction on social media and everything, and just, you know, starting afresh and into it. And the players were great, the management were great, the club was great, and you know, I just loved every minute of it. I mean, highlights wise on the pitch, I mean, the run to the semi final was, you know, brilliant. There was just getting to Wembley for that semi-final. Obviously, it was against Arsenal, so it was a bit of a strange one for me. But seeing, you know, 40,000 Reading fans in there, and the performance they served up on that day was just brilliant. And so that was a particular highlight. I'm trying to think of games that really stand out. You put me on the spot.
quarter-final against Bradford at home.
Yeah, that was good. I loved it. I really liked the first game at Bradford because I thought that Reading were great that day. It was such a horrible place to go, horrible pitch, and everyone had been turned over there, including Arsenal a couple of years earlier. And I thought Reading did a brilliant job just to go there and get the 0-0 and come back. And you know, I knew they were going to win that replay pretty comfortably. It was the first game was the one that really won the tie for me, and I thought they were great. I loved one game I really remember. Actually, I loved the Charlton 4-3 when Rackles scored the last-minute winner. That was great. But the game up at Doncaster towards the end of the first season when Reading were 1-0 down and they turned around, they won 3-1.
Was that Piercy's step-over?
Piercy's step-over. Pod got a couple and Alfie got a penalty. And Reading hadn't come back from behind for ages, and that was just at the end of the season. They needed to win, really, to get themselves a spot. It looked like to get themselves a spot in the playoffs. And they turned it around with those two late goals. And I remember when Pog scored the second from Jake Taylor's cross, that was a moment where all press box etiquette went out the window. I just remember probably leaping to my feet and celebrating that one. That was a good one. Then Piercy went and sealed it by his magical step over to set up another one. Excellent. So that was good.
Excellent.
The video was plenty. The whole thing, you know, I absolutely loved it. And I'll always... Yeah, Reading will always be the other club that I look for now in results when the results are coming in. Absolutely no doubt about that.
I like it. You're not going to celebrate when you come back, right?
I can't promise anything.
fair enough. So you got to work. Well, you got to work with four managers in the end: Adkins, Steve Clark, Brian McDermott, and Yap Stam. Who out of the four was your favourite to deal with?
Yap Stam, hands down. Yap Stam just a brilliant, brilliant man. He really is. From the second I first walked into him, and I was really sort of wary about him at first because the reputation of him as a player. I mean, I remember him fully as a player hurling abuse at him non-stop from the stands at Ivory during those great battles.
Thought he might recognise your voice.
We used to have, and I just remember thinking when he was pointing, it's like, what is he going to be like? I mean, is he going to be terrifying? And he was just great from the second you walked in. I just loved talking to him, listening to him speak about football. And I knew from the second, from when we went over to Holland for the trip this time last year, and I watched, you know, it was great, great sort of coverage, and that they really just, when you're on a tour, they really sort of just watch training and you really get into it. And I just knew from that they were in really good hands, that they'd hired someone pretty special. You could see what he'd done and to in a short space of time, because you go back to when they lost Ewood Park on the final day of that season before, and the whole place in disarray, really. I mean, I actually thought they were going to get relegated after that season. I was convinced they were going to get relegated, and it just was an absolute mess, and everyone was, mood was horrible and stuff like that. And the second he walked in, Stam, the whole place just changed. The mood, the players, everyone just walks around like 1 foot taller, and they were enjoying it, they were loving it, and he's a special manager. It's absolutely brilliant news that he signed a new contract. I was so happy to see that, because I was worried after the playoff final, after the defeat. I was worried sitting in his press conference at Wembley. I was thinking, is this going to be the last time I see you as a Reading manager? So I was delighted. But all of the managers were good, to be honest. I got on well. Brian McDermott's just an absolutely fantastic man. I know it didn't work out for him when he came back, but he is genuinely just a top, top man. Some of the stuff he did behind that went unnoticed he's just a fantastic bloke. Really like him. Adkins was tough to deal with. Talked some rubbish. can't
mess it up. That was all.
I can't. No, he talked utter rubbish. I'm not surprised that team struggled, because if he talked like that in the dressing room, went in and talked like he did to us in the dressing room, I'm not surprised it just went over everyone's head. Nice enough guy and everything like that, but just overcomplicated everything for me. And he wasn't the greatest. But yeah, the rest of them were all good. And I really like Steve Clark. We had some real good old battles, me and Clark, Steve. And but we'd always forget about it, and then the next day he'd be fine. And he was another guy I really liked talking to about football, and I thought he knows his stuff. And it was a bit of a shame the way it all ended for him.
Did the two of you just have a running joke that he was going to just completely feed you completely false injury news? Because that seemed to be the hallmark of Steve Clark's news conferences. Yeah. They'd tell you that someone wasn't fit and they'd be in the starting lineup, but they'd tell you someone was fit and they wouldn't be in the squad.
Yeah, it was. He was always like that, but it was a bit of a running joke. We'd all just look at each other after it and see. And it was impossible, because then everyone asked the team news. You kind of knew you were giving stuff out that you pretty much knew was wrong, and he was trying to throw everyone else the scent, but... He was a nice guy, and he's a stern guy, and a pretty what he is just there's no sort of messing around with him. You know, he'll tell you to the point. He won't mince his words, and I like that. I thought at the time I thought he was going to be a really good manager for Reading, but then obviously it all went pear shaped, the whole Fulham thing, and it ended badly. But I liked him.
Yeah, he was just unbelievable when you look at it in hindsight, how quickly that whole season unravelled. But what about player-wise then? You got to speak to a lot of players during your time. A lot of players came and went. Anyone in particular stand out as someone you were you enjoyed speaking with?
Oh, God, loads of them. They look great. I mean, Danny Williams was... I used to love talking to Danny Williams. He was fantastic. I mean, me and G-Matt are very close, and you can't not laugh when you're in G-Matt's company. And he's a top, top guy. Not always the greatest person to interview in terms of copy, but he's a good guy. Alfie was brilliant. Got on really well, Alfie. Feds as well. There's loads of them. Yeah, they're all... There's not many I've really... not got on with
anyone you care to name. Was he really
I haven't got on with?
Yeah,
trying to think. How yeah, well,
that doesn't surprise
didn't
me.
Go down. Me and Al had a blazing row on the side of the pitch in Thailand, in the training pitch, when he just came over to me for some reason, shouted at me about, are you going to write anything positive for once? and just for no reason, and we had a big old row. I mean, to be fair, I gave his good back to him, and we ended up walking off after shaking hands and kind of agreeing to disagree. But I just get it. It was like, I was saying, how can I write anything positive? You finished sort of 17th last season. You lost like 20, your last 25 games, whatever it was. It's quite hard to write anything positive. Whenever you do well, like when in the FA Cup, I was always writing positive, but it's quite hard to write anything positive when you're losing week in, week out in the league. And I just thought it was a bit of, I couldn't believe he'd really said it to me. And it was right in the middle of, right on the side of the training pitch of everyone there. And it was a bit of a stand-up row. But, yeah, we never got... And it's too fun. It's very, it was always awful to interview as well. So just loves himself a bit, Mr. Howe, which everyone knows as well.
But. Yeah, I think he's had... I think he's done just enough in his season at West Brom to keep the myth alive. I think he scored that fantastic goal, didn't he? And I noticed Mr. Wenger as well.
Scored against Arsenal.
Yeah, Mr. Wenger singled him out as a good player.
Within about 2 minutes of coming off the bench, he scored against Arsenal. I just thought, whenever that happens, when something like that happens, you think, oh, brilliant.
Surprised he didn't point to him.
He wasn't the he was a nice enough guy, Harry. He was always very, he'd always say hello and stuff like that. It was just, yeah, we didn't quite click. But I don't think he really clicked with many journalists, to be honest, because he's not there. I don't think he sort of trusts his ethical or journalists with how, and he's a funny character. But he was the one that I never really connected with out of everyone.
Looking ahead then, as I said, you've moved on to pastures new, the club continues to tick along. Do you think that the club are in a better position now than when you first started covering them in 2013?
Without a shadow of a doubt. I mean, they just got relegated, that horrible wage bill when I started. You know, a year later they almost went bust, so certainly went into administration. So where they are now, you know, it's been a bit of a roller coaster, hasn't it, owner to owner. And you know, I don't know much about these Chinese owners now. It's bad. It's only just gone through. It was pretty much like the last story I broke before I left.
I was going to say, it was breaking around November.
Yeah, it was. It was the last thing. It'd been rumbling on for ages. I was desperate to break it as well. But it was, again, there was some real stuff going on behind the scenes with me and Reading about just stuff about that and a bit of a battle. And it, in the end, I just launched it out there anyway. But I was delighted to see it all finally went through smoothly, and they got it done, because the club just needs a bit of stability, I think, behind the scenes. It's been lurching from one owner to the other. It's been, you know, not that much money going around. These guys seem, from what I've heard and what I understand, speaking to people, because I still do speak to people that read it now, that it is, they're good people, and they're not going to go around and see, you're not going to see 10, 20 million pound Wolves-type signings. At the moment, you're not going to see Helder Costa or anything brought to the club, people like that, but you're going to see decent signings made, clever signings as well, because you know Brian Tavern is a very clever guy, and he's not one to really go out splashing the cash anyway. He wants to get the guys in that he trusts and the apps to stay. So I think you'll see some good business done this season. I know that a striker is definitely a priority this summer, and there's a few, the sort of three players that have been very much identified that what the club want to bring in, and I think you get those over the line, then you're going to have a decent squad. I mean, there's going to be it looks like Ali might go. I was shocked when I saw that all happen, but given that his family's back over that sort of way now, and also the wages that appear to be on offer, I'm not really surprised.
No, it's an understandable move.
Yeah, so he's given two absolutely outstanding years to the football club, and he's just got another young kid and stuff like that. So if that is on the offer over there, then it's not surprising that he's certainly mulling it over. I hope he stays, but when that sort of money is on the table, pretty hard to say no, isn't it? So, but anyway, I think Brian is, you're in good hands with Brian and Yap. I think you'll start the season with a decent squad.
Yeah, well, fingers crossed we can go that one stage. But I'll get your prediction just when we finish the show, because I can't let you go without one final prediction after your years of service in the Prediction League. But just quickly,
never
as well,
won once, did I? I didn't.
No,
win once. I really thought I was going to win last year.
Yeah, you bottled it. It was a couple of years ago when you bottled it. I think with about five games to go to Johnny. I think that was your chance. But
yeah.
Oh well, we can still keep you involved if you want. But
trying to be too positive. That's what cost me. I kept having Reading wins in there at the end there.
Yeah, Johnny's negativity shone through. But just before I let you go and get that final prediction ahead of the season, just quickly as well, I wanted to touch on, because you were the last print journalist at what was the Reading Evening Post and turned into Get Reading. Do you miss working in print? Do you think that it's a shame that it's no longer a print issue?
I think it's definitely a shame it's no longer a print issue. I thought there was certainly scope for it to carry on being a print issue in Reading anyway, the Post. But I don't necessarily miss it. I kind of like the digital side of things. It's not that I don't necessarily miss it, and I enjoy sort of content you produce for online. I know it's a tough for some people who are more the traditionalists. It's not so much what they enjoy, but other people, sort of younger guys coming through or coming up, reading about sport is sort of stuff they like. So it's a bit of a crossover stage in the whole industry at the moment, so I can see both sides of the story. And I still do love a print media, but it's just input, you know, you can't hang on to something that is clearly changing and clearly going to go. I think there's always going to be a need for it, some of it, but I can, you know, digital is the way forward in journalism, and it's just a case of getting it right and making sure it works, but it is certainly the way forward. So I'm enjoying what I do now, but I do miss the days of having a real good old scoop that you sort of write, you send it off to the print press, and you're waiting for it to come out the next morning, and no one knows about it until they pick up the back page and look at it, and it always caused quite a stir. So I do miss that side of things.
Yeah, it's quite tough to hold on to an exclusive these days in the world of social media. Yeah. You know, it's hard to believe.
You have an exclusive within 2 minutes. It's everywhere else anyway. So
it's hard to believe that you used to be able to hold on to something till the Sunday paper.
Yeah,
it's
almost impossible now. It's a case of if you get anything, you got any story, you just got to get it out there, and then you can't wait because it will emerge elsewhere because of social media.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I love social media as well. I think social media is a great thing, and it's I think it's completely changed our industry, and it will be the same again because of it. But I think it's a good thing. It's obviously got its downfalls, and there's far too many idiots on it. But I still think use it wisely and cut out the idiots. It's a great tool, and it's certainly changed. It's changed the industry.
I'll have to leave your opinion on who the idiots are on social media for our Tarleson Podcast Unleashed show.
There's too many. There's plenty of them. Honestly, it's football fans. They're just crazy. Football fans are just mad. It's just I wrote something the other day. A tweet about Lacazette signing for Arsenal, and I think I ended it with the words, "He needs to deliver." And I actually got absolutely crucified. It was just like, I couldn't believe it. It's like, of course he needs to deliver. It's like, I'm not having a go at him for that. It's just a statement. You spend 50 million quid on a player, striker, of course he needs to deliver. I'm not having a go at him, but I just got absolutely hung, drawn, quartered by Arsenal Twitter for
God, covering
every name under the sun.
Covering the signing of Joseph Mendes to the signing of Lacazette. It's been not a bad 12 months. Thank you.
Been taking a flight to Australia on Sunday for the Arsenal tour.
Oh, okay, yeah, fine, yeah, so, yeah, great. We get to go to Wickham.
Less time, and it's like 6 days, 7 days. I think if I'd have stayed and been going to Holland this year, we're ready. And I think it's longer, it's about 10 days. Reading, I suppose, to be in Holland, I think. So,
The thing with the big clubs, haven't you? You've got to go serve all the different target markets.
Well, they're going on to China afterwards, Arsenal, but I'm not carrying on to that. I'm coming back after the Australia part, so it's about 6 days.
Fair enough. I'll save my scorn for you. But anyway, right, I know you're a busy man, you've got work to cover. So finally, how do you think they'll get on this season? Do you think they'll go that one step better? Do you think they'll get in that top two? Or do you think playoffs need to be the realistic aim?
I'd say you aim for the playoffs, you get top two, brilliant. And that is what you want. Obviously, you don't have to go through the horrible lottery of what happened last season, which was just horrendous. I came back, I was at Wembley for that shootout, and just, you know, and I'm not even a Reading fan, and it was absolutely heartbreaking to see it. I thought your video that you guys did was brilliant, and it told the story so well. And you want top two, and that's what Reading certainly will be aiming for. I think they keep the pace just the last season squad and add who I think they're certainly looking to add, then they'll be a very strong championship team who'll be feared by many people. So I think they'll certainly want top two, but I think at the start of the season, you've got to think top six. Just get in there, give yourself a chance. But once the business end of the season comes, if you're up there and about it, the automatic places, then go for it.
So go on then, stick your money where
you're
going.
I'll say they're going to go up automatically.
Oh, okay, I like this. Up automatically. Positivity.
I'm going to be positive. It's my positive what's again.
Excellent. Well, Charles, just for myself, again, for your work on this show the past 3 years, I know on a personal level, very much appreciated it. I know that a lot of our listeners did as well. It was great to have you on. You'll always be welcome back. Hopefully we'll be talking in just over 12 months about Reading v Arsenal somewhere.
Yes, hopefully so. Fingers crossed.
And in the meantime, I will leave you to the delights of the Starbucks, or generic coffee chain that you are in ahead of your working day.
I'm not going to go and get one of their iced coffees, though, after the stories that came out last year. So.
Yes,
last week.
We'll leave that one there, just in case any particular drinks brands want to sponsor us here on the Tarleson Podcast. We are open for business. But Charles, again, thank you very much. Best of luck for the Arsenal for the season. And I said, hopefully we'll get you in a... Actually, no, I'm not going to say hopefully we'll get you in a cup, because we never bloody win. So I hope we avoid Arsenal at all costs in the cup competitions. But as I said, thank you very much. And as I said, you'll always be a friend here of the Tarleson Podcast.
Top man. Thanks, Dan. Speak to you soon, mate.
Take care. Ta-da.
The Tarlehurst End Podcast.
Read the blog
on thetarlehurstend.com.